Well, buckle up, because we're going to have a fun conversation about something really sad, but we laugh our way through it. Sometimes you just got to laugh so you don't cry. And I end up talking a lot about cheesecake. So this is a fun episode, and we really hope it helps you as you are delighting in the disciplines.
Hello and welcome to the Fathom Beyond Sunday podcast. I am Christina Scott, here with lead pastor of Fathom Church, Kyle Nelson.
Hey-o. Let's do this. I try to mix it up with just...
I literally was just about to say, we never know what to expect from you after I say your name.
I try... I mean, you do the kind of standard, this is the introduction.
Standard, yes.
And I try to like, yay, we're going to have fun. Surprise, love, be something stupid.
Cheese.
Right. Yeah, I'm the one that's making funny faces.
Yeah. It's funny because there's very little change in my inflection in that intro.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, we're already laughing and you can hear it in my voice when I say that. But most of the time, that's where it, right, everything just shifted.
Welcome. We're here to have fun.
We are. We are. And
because we're delighting in the disciplines.
We are delighting in the disciplines. And I just think like the irony of how we just started this podcast for the discipline that we are about to engage in and talk about.
Go ahead.
So good. Is that so in these disciplines of activity or habits of engagement, we're doing something, right? We're doing something. And then this one, maybe some people would have thought of it as a discipline of letting go, but today we are going to be talking about mourning and mourning as a discipline of engagement and of activity. And I just, again, I just think like, of course we would start out so like kind of goofy and laughing.
Sometimes you got to laugh so you don't cry.
Right. It's so true. Yeah. It's so true. And I mean, maybe more often than, more often than we let on.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, so what is mourning? What is mourning? You just have this great definition for it right before we hit record. And so,
yeah, I'm pretty sure it's not mine. You know, it's one of those acquired somewhere from someone, but I can't remember who.
But don't you love that though, when something, I mean, you want to be able to give credit where credit is due,
for
always.
Sure, yeah.
But when something affects you so deeply that it just becomes part of you, and like this is now just part of my DNA. This has changed me in this way. So
yeah, we have a previous podcast. If you want probably longer form in this or just more, we have another conversation. I'm not sure which podcast episode it is, but it's on lament. I think
it was
called
a bonus episode.
Yeah, it was a bonus episode on lament. A year or two ago, I don't even know. But yeah, lament or mourning is. Like biblical mourning, biblical lament is, or spiritual lament is naming your pain and moving towards God. Naming your pain and moving towards God. Lament is naming your pain and moving towards God. I find that to be really helpful when I'm hurting. And when I am mourning, I'm in a process and I'm just struggling. And sometimes we can find ourselves stuck there, stuck for a day or weeks. Or months in this place, and real spiritual lament is actually not just sitting down in it,
right?
It's moving through a process of it that moves us ultimately closer to God. And so, you know, we'll talk about the stages of grief here in a moment if you want to lead us into that, or we can just dive right into the scripture. It's probably a better place to start and then talk about the stages of grief and how those are actually seeing ourselves moving through this process is actually moving, you know, spiritually moving closer to God as we do that.
Yeah. We were just talking about, so immediately when I hear mourning, like throughout all of these disciplines that we've talked about, generally, like we'll have this conversation, like, where does your brain go? Sometimes our brain goes in the same place, yours and mine, and sometimes we go in completely different directions and we find a way, you know, like to get to talk about both. But for me, immediately when I hear mourning, I think of Jesus and Sermon on the Mount, and I think of him saying, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And I'm just reminded of our comforter. And none of us, there is blessing and things like we can find in the midst of our mourning if we are looking, you know, toward God, if we have an eternal perspective or a kingdom perspective, we can find those things in the midst of it. But rarely would anyone just come out and say, I'm so blessed to mourn.
Yeah.
Right? Like who, no, like yeah. that's, I'm so blessed to mourn. But Jesus said, blessed are those who mourn for why? Why are they blessed? Because they will be comforted. And that for me is a reminder, right? In the middle of my grief that we have a comforter, we have a savior, we have a creator who knows our pain.
Tierney and I were talking about, there's a family in our church who's just gone through just some loss, mm-hmm. some personal loss. And Tierney and I were reflecting back when we were pregnant with our first child. And, you know, we didn't know whether to tell people or not. Mm. And our midwife, I guess she was, she said, you know, we were just talking to her about it. She was a believer and we, you know, she was wise. And I think we were one of her last babies to deliver. Mm. And we're like, we don't know whether we should tell anybody. We like, if, you know, if something happens, you know, then it's going to be a whatever. And she goes, you have those people in your life for a reason. And you want them to be there to celebrate you in the highs, mm-hmm. celebrate with you in the highs. And you're going to need them to be there to mourn with you in loss. And so it is that, right. you know. And I think what Jesus is getting at here is that this life isn't meant to be lived alone.
Mm-hmm.
And we come to know his comfort and his compassion through others and his sustaining grace in really low and hard parts of this life. As he comforts us and as his people comfort us.
Yeah.
And I think we actually are able to enter into like the full like life experience of mm-hmm. what it means to be alive, which is to lose and yeah. is to suffer.
Mm-hmm.
You can't go through this life without having lost something
right.
or someone. And in this way, Jesus says like it's actually a blessing, not because like, you know, we're mourning, because they will be comforted, mm-hmm. you know, for they, that's the follow-up, that there is this full robustness that we can experience. And so it gives us permission, you know, to mourn.
Yeah. Yeah. I think too, so often when we hear that word, because it is, I mean, it's kind of a heavy word, mourning. When you say like someone is in mourning, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
When you like think of a family or, you know, traditional, whatever cultures, like people would go, there's like this whole system of like, okay, they, yeah. these people are in mourning and this is what they're allowed to wear. And this is what
for
they're allowed to eat.
Days
and
this yes, many weeks. Yeah.
We this is that. What they're allowed to do. Right. Yeah.
You see that in the Old Testament, mm-hmm. like certainly a lot.
Right. So it has this word, but like we grieve over things far, far more. Like there are losses that are not just death. Mm-hmm. Right. There are
like when our favorite restaurant like stops making the like our favorite thing.
1000% that.
Like Cheesecake Factory stopped carrying the Chris's Outrageous Cheesecake. And it's like the best one, y'all. Like I'm still mourning over it. I haven't come to acceptance. I actually every time we go, which is not often.
Do you still ask? Where
yeah,
is this?
I'm like, hey, have you heard any news?
What's up with Chris?
Can I tell you something ridiculous about Cheesecake Factory?
You definitely can.
So Taryn got into Tetris, and I watched this most recent Tetris movie that's out, and it's actually amazing. And I really enjoyed it. Have you seen the Tetris movie?
No, I just feel like I actually know this story, but from her perspective. So.
Okay, yeah, hers is different than mine. Mine's going to be more animated and ridiculous. But anyway, she got really into Tetris, and like I won't even tell you what level she's on because I can't keep up. But anyway, I was like, hey, that sounds fun. So we had a weekend off or something, and I downloaded it, and I was playing Tetris, and I saw, man, they have these like this reward system, so you can get bonus stuff. For playing Tetris. I'm like, cool, 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 cool. So I went to town playing Tetris, and I got up enough points, and it wasn't even that much, and I was able to get a $25 gift card to Cheesecake Factory. And I was like, this is crazy. This isn't real. You know what I mean? And I straight up waited for like 2 weeks, and then I got this email And it looked pretty legit. I'm like, okay. So I added that thing, you know, and saved it as a PDF on my phone.
That's right.
So we say, all right, we're going to Cheesecake Factory tonight. Like, we're going to share some food, you know what I mean? And, like,
we'll see how far that $25 is going to go.
It didn't go very, very, very far. But we made it work. And anyway, and got to the end of the meal. And heck yeah, that thing worked. We got $25 for me playing Tetris.
The part that I know is that Taryn hesitated because she thought it was a scam.
Yes.
And she's still holding on to points, and all of those Cheesecake Factory gift cards are gone.
Well, yeah, they're all gone. So she's out of luck.
She's waiting for something else, though, yeah. Right?
Good luck on that. Anyway.
But so in that, right, yes, so we mourn losses of all sorts, right, and of different gravity, mm-hmm. certainly. But we're all like, there's just so many things. I think sometimes it's, you know, it's so often it is death,
and
it is, yeah. Right. But it's the death of a dream, right? Like it is, it's losing, you know, what you thought your plan was for something or, I mean,
even like friendships, people that were in our life and they move, right?
Right.
Or, you know, we have a fight and like, it just doesn't, it doesn't come back the way it was.
Right.
You know, I mean, there's loss there for sure. And I think, yeah, let's talk about the five stages.
Yeah.
As we're talking about kind of not sitting down in it, I think it's helpful.
Yeah.
And then we'll work our.
So, the normal stages of the grief process. So this list that I'm looking at is, number one, shock and denial.
Yeah.
Shock and denial.
I can't believe this cheesecake is not here, right? I don't believe it. I'm going to make all of these stupid, so you're welcome.
It is outrageous.
Right.
Can you believe it? I think in the shock and denial part, is that the part where we want everyone on our side? Like, we want everyone to also agree with us that this is worth mourning?
How do you not see? Yeah. How are you not affected by this like I am? Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Like, just, I don't know, there's something about that shock part, the denial part. Like, no, if I get enough people, like, if enough people sign my petition, then this loss will not have happened, right?
Yeah.
What is our outlook at God, toward God during shock and denial? Like, what are we?
I don't know.
Is this our asking questions phase? Like, is this us asking God?
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
I thought this was the
point. No, I don't even think we're maybe, we might not even be to that stage yet.
Okay.
Because we're just, how can this be? How can this be? I remember being in the Bahamas on a trip with, you know, this ministry I was part of in college, and the director died right in front of us. And I've told this story before, and we went out, you know, and I was like the chaplain for this ministry, and there's like 90 of us down in the Bahamas, and we were all in shock. I mean, we all moved from this restaurant, outside of this restaurant where he had a massive heart attack and died. And we went to the hospital, and we just were all there just sitting in this, you know, Nassau hospital, which is not like our hospitals around here.
Right, which certainly did not have 90 seats for you.
No, we're all on the ground. We're all just sitting in the ground in this small waiting room. And, you know, we don't know what's going on behind closed doors. We don't know. I mean, we tried to administer CPR. They came and got him after a while. And we're just all, like, continuing to pray. This can't be real. Like, this cannot be happening right now. So I think it's that, you know, just continuing to press in, like it's not real when it's real.
Yeah.
Because we're just in denial.
In shock. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the second stage is anger and particularly anger turned outward. Because when we get to the next stage, we'll talk about what anger looks like turned inward, but
like,
anger,
let me speak to your manager.
Yeah.
Why is this cheesecake?
Yes. Yes. Let me, are you sure?
I told you I'm going to be stupid with a cheesecake.
That's okay. Yep. It's all right. We can do this. But what does it look like to engage, right? Because we are talking about this being a habit of activity and a habit of engagement.
Yeah.
So what does it look like, you know, to actually, to go through these stages? Because these stages aren't aren't wrong. Like, what we're talking about is this is what happens. This is the process, not like this is a bad part or this is a good part or anything like that. These are just these stages that happen. So what does it look like to engage?
In a healthy way.
Right, in a healthy way.
Because we can figure out the unhealthy way.
Right.
Right.
Well, because we're talking about these habits that are spiritual formation. So how do we engage with the anger?
I think we've got to find right time and place.
Yeah,
you know, what was the phrase Pastor Rocky used at the marriage conference? I can't remember it. Right place, right, you know, space or something like that. I can't remember what it was, but it was like, essentially we need the right person and to say it with and the right time and the right place. And, hey, we know we're battling anger here and we need to give ourselves space. And, you know, you can go into a room and just scream it all out loud. Most of the time, that's not what feels great.
No,
that's weird for people. So who's somebody you can trust to just not take it out on them, but just say, hey, I need to express this anger that I'm feeling. Maybe that's a counselor, like a grief counselor, a pastoral counselor, a trusted, you know, brother, sister in Christ who you can just process your anger with out loud and let all that emotion come with you. And that doesn't happen in just one setting either.
Right.
That happens over the course of months and weeks and maybe years in your life to come to terms with something that you are not okay with and, and has hurt you and you're still mourning over, an untimely death or again, a disappointment or a failed business or a failed marriage or whatever it might be that would, you know, be an infidelity. I mean, all kinds of ways that anger could, you know, be provoked for that loss.
Yeah, I think, too, it's probably important that that person who is trusted is not grieving the same thing you are.
For sure.
Just because it might seem easier to go to the people who are also angry, right, in the same moment. But that's actually really not the healthiest thing for either of you to sit in that or maybe even to mix up some of your emotions when you might be grieving on different sides of the same issue. But sometimes somebody who is not directly involved, like you had said, a counselor or, you know, a trusted friend or something like that, but somebody who's not grieving the same thing you are.
And I would just say, if you've suffered any kind of serious loss, like don't be afraid to reach out to a counselor. Chances are pretty high you could really use one.
Right.
You know, and they can be a healthy and safe place for you to process some of that emotion with. And I think ultimately in the lament definition that I offered, it's naming your pain, right? I'm angry at this loss. I'm mourning this. You know, it's naming that, and it allows you to continue to move through the process.
Yeah, yeah. So the next stage is depression, which is kind of defined as anger turned inward. So we have this anger out, and then that anger turns inward. That deep level of depression there, and I don't know, for me, that one has been in the past in different losses is a lot of it triggered by like what could I have done differently or wishing
all back on yourself
right what could I have done differently
I should have done this
or not done this, right? Like whether I should have done something, this, right? If I wouldn't have done that, then X, Y, Z and those kinds of things.
And it's tormenting.
It is.
It really is tormenting. Yeah.
That one, that's particularly hard. And I don't think, I mean, in our, in the current state of mental health in the United States, depression is not an unfamiliar term to anyone who's listening right now. But I think that sometimes we elevate it to like, oh, depression has to mean this, like it has to mean something that needs to be medicated or it has to mean something that, you know, that requires therapy or counselor or things like that. But like, that's not the definition of depression.
Right. Yeah.
That's not it. So,
yeah. It's something that's happening inside of us and that, you know, I'm, and it's, frankly, we have lots of examples of it in the Bible. In fact, right. I'm teaching one tonight, which I think is a which is a pretty intense version, and there is a spectrum of depression, mild depression and major depression. Mm-hmm. You need to talk to somebody else besides me on all that.
Mm-hmm.
But Moses like says he's so overwhelmed with his life, and I'd say he's depressed because he's like, God, if you love me, you will kill me.
Right.
Like, it's a very intense reality of his life that he's over it. And sometimes when we're, you know, just in that internal war that's a waging of depression, anybody that's listening has gone through that, you know that it's hard to even put into words,
mm-hmm.
you know, the level of pain that you're feeling when you're in that place, and it doesn't feel like anything helps and that there's not much hope.
Right.
And it's a dangerous place. And so I think all the more it's important for us to continue to name that, mm-hmm. to realize the place we're in, and continue to move towards God.
Yeah.
What does it look like for me to be in this place, so hopeless, not feeling like anything's going to happen? What does it mean for me to continue to move towards God, even in this, you know, low place?
Right. So the next stage after that is bargaining. Bargaining. So what do you say to the waiter when he says, no cheesecake?
So what if I come back and wash dishes? Like, can you guys pull out the extra? I don't know. Can your chef make it? I don't know.
Do you have the recipe for?
Yeah.
What do I have to get? What do I have to do to get the recipe for Chris's outrageous cheesecake?
So I'm not as familiar with this part of the grief process. Are you? Do you feel like you got a real good grasp on kind of the bargaining phase?
No.
Okay.
Not particularly.
Okay.
Not particularly. And maybe what I was calling depression is bargaining.
Hmm.
Maybe, you know what I mean? Like,
maybe, yeah.
God, if you'll just take this from me or give this back to me, if you'll restore this, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. Maybe this is the questioning stage. Maybe this is but it's like this idea of like postponing or what, how can we undo what has been done?
Yeah. And this is, I mean, we're talking about it in a linear fashion because the list is kind of linear.
Right.
But it goes back and forth Absolutely. And all over the place when we're really grieving and working through the mourning process.
So. Absolutely. Absolutely. Next, and this is the one I'm super familiar with, unfortunately, is this, it's sadness.
Mm. Yeah.
It's just the sadness. And I don't know that part, you know, depending on the... If when we are talking about a loss of life, the sadness part, that part stays regardless of the final stage being acceptance, right? Like the sadness part may not over, it doesn't overwhelm, it doesn't keep you from the acceptance part. But the sadness still lingers. Sadness is still there.
It just sucks.
It does.
Yeah.
It does. And so for that, I would say, like just as what you just said, you know, it's not linear. It's they're kind of all mixed up together, but.
And I want to kind of bring us to a close here,
you
know, cause acceptance is the next one.
Right.
Right. We accept the reality of it. We took a long time on those, but I think I think that's the real thing of what we're moving mm-hmm. in and through and feeling and experiencing. And if you've lost and, you know, suffered in any way, mourning's a huge part of this. What does it look like for us to engage in it? So I think it's actually really helpful that we are outlining it like we are. But that I want to highlight to bring us to a close here that you can be mourning while also abiding, mm-hmm. and you can be mourning while also full of joy.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
The joy of the Lord in the midst of all that. And you can be mourning and be full of hope.
Mm-hmm.
And yet really broken and really hurting mm-hmm. and really confused and angry and not lose hope and not lose joy. The Bible is full of just encouraging words to those who mourn. I think one of those comes out of 1 Thessalonians 4:13. Brothers, I don't want you to be uninformed about those who fall asleep, those who mm-hmm. pass away, that you may not grieve as others who do not have hope. Another one out of Revelation, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. He is close to the brokenhearted, Jesus yes. said. He's close to those who are crushed in spirit. And so be encouraged today. If you're in that place or when you do, you can kind of come back to this, circle back to this, and just remember to keep moving through the process and stay engaged in it. To don't sit down right. in Absolutely. One of those things and just stay angry. What does it look like to open the Word of God, to pray and to mourn and allow him to hear all that.
Yeah.
And he hears it and just continue to move towards him.
Yeah. I love it. We are grateful that you're continuing with us in delighting in the disciplines. We've got still got several disciplines to do with you guys. It's exciting that this series is going to last into the summer. So buckle up for that. But if you have questions or you want to give us some feedback on how these podcasts are helping you, we would love for you to email info@fathom.church and let us in on what's going on in your world. You can always text the keyword Fathom to 97,000 and follow the prompts to get connected and stay connected with us. But we love you guys. We're praying for you and we'll see you back here next week. It.
Love you.